When you push publish, does anything actually happen for your business? If it doesn't, you need to start building your audience. And that's what we're going to help you do today, right here, right now, on Air Brands Live.
You're now tuned in to the On Air Brands Podcast.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to the On Air Brands Show. I am Todd Genetasio, along with my co-host, Amber Furman. What's up, Amber?
What's up, Todd? I'm super excited for today's episode. And it's so crazy because I know that we like plan out what we're going to talk about and stuff, but I always feel when you do the intro that I'm like, oh my gosh, like I'm hearing this for the first time. And I'm super excited to dig in. What I was thinking about when you were talking about the intro, though, is like, I told you when we were prepping that I just hit my 2-year anniversary of podcasting.
Big milestone. Congratulations.
And thank you so much. And you were talking about how, like, when you hit publish, does anybody notice? And I remember when I first started my episode and I was like, my God, I hope not. Like, you publish stuff and you're like, I really hope nobody listens to this.
Yeah.
But then eventually that changes and you're like, man, I really want somebody to listen to this. Like, how do I get them to listen? Because now I don't sound entirely awful. I just sound kind of awful because I got better.
Yeah. Well, that's the old adage, you know, whenever you start something, you're going to suck and you keep doing it until you suck so little that you're actually pretty good. And the good news is when you're first starting, you probably don't have any audience paying attention. And so it doesn't matter that much anyway. So you actually have a runway to improve as you persist. So, I'm with you on that. And that's actually, we're going to talk about that in a couple of weeks, how to get started with a strategy that I call season zero. Which makes it super easy and fast to get kickstarted so you can get those reps in and get better. So make sure you guys are subscribed so that you catch that episode in a few weeks. But today's topic is very important to every business. It is all about having an audience and the power of having an audience and why you want to have an audience. So every business is different with how specifically and how frequently this can help. But on Friday, I sent out an email to my list. It was the end of the month. Was it the end of the quarter? I don't really go by quarters in my business, but it was the end of the month. And I was like, you know, let's try and push some sales through at the end of the month here and set some records. And I'm happy to say July was the best year. I'm pretty sure it was the best month that we've ever had in our 10 years. We did have a really high revenue streak for a year. But it was not nearly as profitable because I didn't know what I was doing. but July was the best month. And on Friday, I was like, you know what, let's see if we can push a couple more sales through with some of our digital products. And I sent out an email to my list, did a little flash sale style thing, right? Discounted offer for one of our programs. And we got some sales coming through.
That's amazing.
And that's how it works. Now, of course, an audience is not just people you can spam and send sales links to. These are people who get emails from me regularly with full of great content, links to these episodes, articles, commentary, insights, right? Like I'm building relationship, I'm putting equity in that bank. And so when it's time to draw out of that bank, I send out an email. And again, my programs are highly valuable. They're going to change the trajectory of your business. So it's not like I'm just asking you to give me money. You know, it's not like, hey, thanks for being an email subscriber. Can you just PayPal me a couple $100s?
Right.
But when you build an audience that's engaged and paying attention to you and you add value, you can send out those messages. So in my business, it looks like that every once in a while we do something like that. My wife runs a business where she sells very low priced, you know, $5 to $20 products to people. So she much more e-commerce style. And so she sends out a couple emails a week. One of them is pure content, but she sends out flash sales, social promos and emails. And she's getting, you know, dozens to hundreds of sales every day because when she pushes publish, there are people paying attention that want what she has.
That's amazing. And, you know, we have, and I'm going to say strategically planned. We'll decide how accurate that statement is later. But we've strategically planned this series that we're doing on basically audience to publish and tools and tricks and some really cool stuff you guys are going to want to listen to over the next couple of weeks. But one of the things that we're going to talk about in the coming weeks is, what does success mean for your podcast? Like, how do you measure success in your podcast? And then based on that, you can engage with your audience in a way that's beneficial. You can't do that if you don't have an audience in the first place, though, which I think is what's really cool about where we're kind of starting this conversation is, how do you get them? How do you engage with them? How do you make sure that they don't roll their eyes when they see your email come in and wonder what it is you're trying to sell them now, right? And how do you make it fun and engaging and different? And I think that, you know, being like salesy is one thing, but then there's also this other side of it of being like too nonchalant about it. I think I mentioned on a past episode that I was on an email list where they sent Friday funnies out, which were great. But after so many Fridays of Friday funnies, why am I opening it anymore? Like, I'm good. So I'm really excited to dig into those topics. How do we start to get that audience? What's the power of having that audience? How do we cultivate that before we need it? Dig the well before we're thirsty, so to say, so that we can have those conversations later.
So first, you know, let's like define what an audience is. So, you know, by definition, an audience is a group of people who are paying attention to what you have to say, right? What you're saying. So the great thing about digital audiences are that they're much more measurable, right? And we'll talk about this next week when we talk about measuring your success for your podcast. But you can measure how many people are on your email list. You can measure how many social media followers you have and how much engagement you're getting. And so, yes, there's, you know, those are, can be vanity metrics to an extent. We'll talk about that again next week when we talk about measuring. But it is tangible. Like, this is not a, you know, quote unquote, like brand awareness, we're publishing stuff and like, hopefully people see it. But like, we can actually see the insights of how many people are seeing our content, how many people are subscribed to our list and taking that next step, how many people are clicking on our stuff and visiting our website, right? And so when we have those people paying attention and being engaged, right, they're taking some kind of action where they're consuming, they're clicking, they're liking, they're commenting, they're sharing, whatever it is, right? Like, that is building up a relationship with these people that means more, right? Like George Bryan says, he's gotten a plug the last couple of weeks, but relationships over algorithms. And so when you have a group of people, when you have an audience, when you have people paying attention to you, you don't have to worry if the Facebook algorithm is going to show them your content, because they're going to be on the lookout for your content, right? Like, there are specific accounts on Instagram. Like, when I log in, if I scroll for like 20 or 30 seconds and don't see their stuff, I'll search their account because I'm paying attention to what they're putting out, right? And so when you have that, you don't have to worry as much about the technicalities of algorithms in a newsfeed, especially when you have an email list, you don't have to worry about that either, right? And having those people there where you can push publish and reach people directly is huge.
Yeah. And, you know, it just goes back to kind of the theme of everything that we talk about, which is that intentionality aspect, right? Yeah. Intentionally creating content that your audience wants to engage in. And that engagement, I mean, we've all seen, I think, those outdated social media calendars that tell you what to post and when. I think, though, that the value of those is that they really highlight the need for a variety of content and an intentional variety of content, which is so much along the lines of what we're talking about now.
Well, and, you know, I don't want to go too deep down this rabbit hole, but I have been saying for a while now to kill the marketing calendars, because I do like what you just said. The highlights of it are like, you should have a range and variety of different types of content. The problem with calendars are that they are date-based, where we're saying, I mean, look, we're doing it where we're saying we have a show every Wednesday and here's the stuff we're talking about for the next few weeks, but all that stuff lines up, right? So we're not saying, all right, it's Monday, we're publishing this. It's Wednesday, we're publishing this. It's all, here's what fits into the schedule. Where you want to create a quote unquote calendar is based on your customer's mindset. Starting at, think of it instead of January, February, March, think of it as day zero to day 10, day 20, day 30. And day zero starting with a couple things, a trigger event, right? Like, they had an issue or a problem, and now they're on the lookout for solving that problem. Or even pre-day zero, where it's like, hey, they're living their life status quo, and I just want to get in front of them to create the trigger event and to build a relationship. And so knowing day zero, they're thinking about this kind of thing. Day one, day two, day three, day four, day five, day six, day 30, day 90, day, you know, a million. And now you're putting content out and you're communicating with people on their schedule and their needs, as opposed to like, hey, we need to put stuff out. Let's put it in the calendar. So you might have a calendar for the dates that you publish things and the dates that you work on things. But when you're thinking about who's interacting with them and when and why, think about it from that customer's day range as opposed to the monthly calendar.
Yeah, I love that. And we're going to dig into that all later, as we talked about in other episodes. So the idea of an audience, this is something that somebody said to me once that changed the term audience for me. Mm-hmm. And he was talking about a podcast guest. He says, one of the things that I love about podcasting for businesses is when else do you have the opportunity to have a member of your audience engaged with you for 60 minutes?
Yeah.
And I thought, man, I've always thought of it as the listener. Right? Yeah. I'm creating this for the listener. But when you expand that and you know that your audience includes the person that you're talking to right then, your guest, you're keeping, you know, so many people think that you plug a microphone in, you start talking, you have a podcast. Mm-hmm. And while that's technically true, when you think about your audience being your guests, the people who are editing your stuff, the people who are consuming your content online, the people who are listening, like all of a sudden you get this spider web of opportunities to learn more about what your audience wants to hear so that you can create a bigger impact.
Yeah. Yeah. And in a world where like, I let's make a list of like, where should you build an audience? What kind of audiences should you have? And there's email list, there's social media and podcast subscribers, podcast downloads. Those numbers are murkier. You can't really get access to that kind of stuff yet. But in social media, you're talking about 5 seconds to 2 minutes max of attention at one time, because that's the context of the channel, right? Email, anywhere from 5 seconds to a few minutes, depending on the length. You know, if they get to click over your website, you get to buy more time. But you're right. Podcasting, when you publish something and it shows and it's in the podcast feed and someone subscribed and it gets added to their queue, like you're in their earbuds for, you know, the length of your episode, you know, 15 minutes, 25 minutes, 60 minutes. You know, I mean, there's people who are crazy. You know, we actually were talking about this in the show earlier, like what's a good length for us to be aiming for? We've been running around 40 minutes, which I think is good when they're packed with value, which I think our episodes are and have been. I am a happy subscriber of our own show, because if you can't love yourself, who else should love you?
Oh, it's a rough world.
But yeah, you know, that time that you spend where you're communicating directly into someone. I mean, just think about the intimacy of like your headphones or earbuds are like up against someone's head and you're in there with them, right? Like just the closeness of that. But then the time spent really creates a deeper relationship with the people that you're communicating with. And that's huge. And that's the power of having a podcast audience to really take your relationships deeper. And that's really, when we talk about measuring success next week, we'll talk about that, because I really look at podcasting success is really about deepening relationships and engaging your existing audience, as opposed to publishing a podcast as necessarily a discoverability tool, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
And I think that's huge to deepen relationships that way.
Yeah. So we've all said, and probably more times than we should admit, that your network is your net worth. I feel like that's probably a phrase that needs to be retired from the world. However, it is
feels
true.
Old and antiquated, right?
It does. And yet when it's done right, it's so true.
Yeah.
I think that there's this old school of your network is your net worth that believes that the number of business cards you have on your desk and the number of contacts you have in your phone is your net worth. Yep. I may have mentioned this on a prior episode, or maybe it was in an off-air conversation, but I have a friend that knows so many people. And you almost get enamored by how many people he knows. And like, you're jealous of this. But when you flip that around and you're like, yeah, but if you were to walk down the street and say, hey, do you know this guy? how many people would know him?
Right.
And that's the power of that network, is your net worth, right?
Right.
So I would love to know from you, how has building an audience actually helped you with that network, is your net worth?
Yeah.
And,
so this
and
is huge.
What's that power?
And this is like a transition, and today's conversation might help me get clarity around the direction I'm going with this in general, because I've been thinking about it a lot the last couple months, as I've seen, you know, over the pandemic, people getting laid off and stuff and starting their own businesses and being, you know, being in their mid 40s, late 40s, and always living by that, you know, saying of like, oh, your network is your net worth. I know all these people, I can call all these people. Well, now you have to actually call all these people, right? And you don't see them regularly, and you don't have a way to reach them directly with the push of a button. And so building an audience is really that, like, the push button communications to stay in touch with your network these days, right? Like, you don't have to go sit down, you know, block off 45 minutes every morning to call people for 20 minutes, because they don't want to be talking to you on the phone for 20 minutes anymore, right? Like, no one's really interested in having their time sucked out like that. But if you are if you're taking those connections and putting them online in your social feeds, if you get them subscribed to your podcast, if you have them on an email list where you're sending out stuff on a regular basis, now you are deepening those relationships with your network, but just at scale.
Yeah.
And it's more permission. Like, you know, no one, I mean, maybe some people get annoyed if you post a lot on social media, but if you're just showing up in someone's news feed on Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter, Instagram, whatever, no one's going to be like, oh man, I can't believe I'm hearing from Todd again. Right. Like, they just scroll past it. But yeah, if I were to call that person every single day, it's like, dude, enough is enough. Stop calling me. Right. Like, so it's like these are ways that we can actually, build better sustainable relationships in the right context where we're not annoying people with phone calls and stuff like that. So I think having the audience, having ways to create, you know, to engage and continue your relationships at scale today is a massive advantage, because back to the people I know that started their own businesses out of necessity over the last few months, if they had taken the time to build the quote unquote network that they had offline, all those business cards that are on their desk, if they had taken the time to add all those connections on LinkedIn or on Facebook and had been having a consistent posting schedule, even just a couple times a month, if it wasn't, you know, they didn't have a business yet. But then when they had a business, being able to post and say, major announcement, I'm starting my own company. Here's the problems we solve. Here's our perfect clients. If you know someone who's like this, I'd love an intro. Bam, you automatically are going to start getting those introductions right out of the gate with so much less effort than like, okay, let me bust out my, like, this stack of business cards and call people who haven't heard from me in a long time. And like, you make a couple calls and you're just like, man, I just had the same conversation a bunch of times, like this, right? Like, but if they would have taken the time to transition and cultivate those relationships in the digital world, now you have that push button communication that makes things so much faster and easier for everybody involved.
Yeah. And I think it's really interesting that you mentioned, you know, the picking up the phone thing, because we're in a world where unless you are my really good friend and I expect to hear from you at random, or my family that I expect to call at random, somebody, and I did this to you a few weeks ago, somebody calls you without you understanding why. And you're like, okay, is the world ending? Yeah. What's the emergency? Could we not do this through text or email? Yeah. Like, phones just aren't what they used to be. It's not the way of primary communication anymore. So for me, if I get a call from somebody and I'm not expecting a call from them, I'm wondering like what emergency has happened in the world. Cause that's not how we communicate anymore.
Yeah.
So on that note as well, with the network is your net worth, I remember when I started my podcast, first of all, I didn't have a business. And I remember thinking that was a bad thing. Like, I don't have a business yet. And I remember being told that's the perfect time to start a podcast.
Yeah.
When all you're doing is sharing value.
Yeah.
And then you just mentioned, you know, then you make the announcement later. when we were reaching out to people and I'm hearing people say, hey, when you reach out to a guest that you think might be outside your reach right now, find out how you can add value to them. Well, here I am sitting here with no business, very little network. And I'm like, what the heck am I going to give to some high profile guest? When what I learned was the more people you know, the more problems you can solve. Mm-hmm. And the more people you can introduce someone to add that value that they're looking for, like you don't have to do it.
Right.
You just have to know somebody who does.
Yeah.
So the power of your audience isn't in the numbers. It's not in the downloads. It's in like the conversations and the relationship building that you have with those people. So you can leverage those relationships to impact everybody in a win-win.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. It's huge. And it's funny because when people start a show like you did before the business was ready or before a product was ready, it gives you permission to have the patience of like, I'm cool showing up and just adding value, putting out good content. Like there's nothing to sell, nothing to promote. Now that does lead to potential issues when like you do start to sell something, you need to be able to do it tactfully, so to speak, right? Like because your audience is not used to hearing that. So, but that goes for anytime anyway, right? But in this way, it gives you that permission of just showing up with the full intention of adding value. I had a call yesterday with someone introduced to me, and going into the call, I was not expecting them to be, from a business model standpoint, I did not expect them to be a fit for my agency. And so I went into that with the full intention of let me understand what they're trying to do and who can I introduce them to that's going to be able to help them. And we started the call off with that. And like, we talked for a couple of minutes. He told me about the business and I was like, look, I'm going to be honest with you. Like we had 30 minutes on the calendar, 5 minutes into the call. I said, look, I'm going to be totally honest. Like my mission and goal in general is to just add value where I can. And we are not an agency that typically works with your kind of business. I do have a friend that's really great with this, and I think that she'd be a good fit. So full transparency, I'm probably planning to introduce you to someone else, but I would love to hear more about what you have going on, and let's talk about it. And so then we just started chatting, and I kind of explained to him my philosophy and approach on business, gave him the modern marketing principles, you know, customer-centric, value-first, education-based, conversational, humanized branding, and direct response next steps. And he was like, man, he's like, all of that sounds awesome. And we actually talked about building an audience. And he's like, dude, he's like, that's exactly what I want. And that's the approach that I want to take. Like, can we get started with you? And he ended up signing up with us. And so
that's awesome.
Just going into that, like similarly, like I had zero intention. I had zero expectation that in the next 30 minutes, this was going to be a new client for us. I fully intended on like the value that I'm going to be able to bring here is probably through a referral or introducing them to someone else, and just showing up, listening and hearing what's going on and then having a quality conversation that ended up. And look, I didn't do this intentionally, but looking back on it, the same way that having a show where you're not selling something gives you the permission to add value, maybe changing those expectations where like I completely removed the idea that like this was a quote sales call, right? Like I was like, hey, I'm not here to sell anything. I don't even think I can sell you anything. Tell me about your business. I'll tell you about my business and then I'll make introductions accordingly. And then we end up, you know, we're going to be doing business together. So.
Yeah. And I mean, just overall, like that's the great way to make connections, but psychologically, it's a great way to get people to buy your stuff too. Like honestly, and one of my favorite stories is a good friend of mine always tells a story. We're now mutual friends, all three of us that are in the story, but he tells a story of somebody coming that sold office equipment in his area, and it was face to face, and comes in and he doesn't try to sell him anything. He doesn't talk to him about office equipment. Like he's just getting to know him and they just mm-hmm. build a friendship. But then every time he sees this guy, he's like, dude, why? Like, when is he going to try and sell me a printer? When is he going to try and sell me a printer? But then it switches when he doesn't try, it switches from, why isn't this guy trying to sell me a printer? Like, what? And so finally, like 2 or 3 months down the road, he interrupts a mid conversation and just says, dude, like, do you not think that I need your stuff? Like why am I not good enough for you to like sell me a printer? And it's crazy because we like, I know we talk about it in sales all the time, but this is where your audience really comes into play. When you can nurture them, they will insert themselves into your products and services. You don't have to sell it to them.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. And so we talked about why having an audience is so important. And you know, before we wrap up, I want to kind of give a list of like, all right, so hopefully everybody here understands the power of an audience and creating these digital audiences so that you can build those relationships at scale. And like I said, using it to build relationships at scale, not using it to just spam your message out to people who subscribe to you.
Yeah.
Right? Because that's how you lose subscribers. No one's going to want to buy from you, right? Like use your audience as an opportunity to build relationships and treat it that way. And think of your audience as the people that they are. There are people on the other end of this, right? And so a couple things, like if you're watching us, like we highly recommend that you have a show for your business, a video show that you turn into an audio podcast. So that's one audience to build is podcast subscribers. We talked about the way that this creates such a deeper relationship. And if you're listening to us and you've made it 25 minutes into this episode, you know how you feel right now. Like, hopefully we've added enough value. You stuck around. So you understand that, like, we have a connection with you guys and you're getting value from this conversation. And that means so much more than just following someone on Instagram and never seeing their stuff because the algorithm doesn't show it to you. Right. So number one, having a podcast audience is huge to build deep relationships. And we'll talk about measuring success next week. Make sure you're subscribed, but I personally am someone who believes that the podcast audience comes from another one of your audience, using the podcast to deepen the relationships. And so the other two, number one primary one is you want to build your email list, right? Like, and we could talk in a future episode about the best way to do that. I like using lead magnets, which are like free digital products, essentially, for people to sign up and get access and then, you know, and giving their permission to get follow-up communication. So that's really where we want to drive our quote front end audience, get people into our world by giving them something for free up front. And then from there, dripping out some good content, linking over to our show and asking them to subscribe. So that's how we can go from, you know, stranger to email subscriber, giving them value up front and then dripping out content and then moving them into podcast subscriber or podcast listener through the email links. And then, you know, the third one being social media. And I think social media is the easiest way to transition people from that whole old school network is your net worth type of thing. Just get connected to people, make sure you're showing up consistently for them. And those are the three channels to really pay attention to where you want to build an audience so that you can create connections, create relationships, create conversations. You know, like I said, one of our principles up front is like conversational messaging. Like in our emails, most of the emails don't have links. It's like hit reply and let me know. Right. And it's asking for conversations. And it's DMing people after they comment on a social post to continue a conversation, quote unquote, offline. Right. So, use these channels to build an audience that you can build relationships with. That's the bottom line I keep getting at here.
Yeah, I absolutely love that. And from somebody that has been extremely transparent on this show about my lack of an email list and the fact that it is growing to almost double digits now. No, nice. I had forgotten that email is a two-way street.
Yeah.
So when you talked about hit reply and let me know, like, what better way to have a one-on-one conversation than send a mass email out to your list and get individual responses back so that you know who to connect with about whatever that topic was. You know, when I first started in this email marketing game, I thought like, okay, I gotta create a lead magnet, and then I gotta figure out who clicks on it by creating tags, and then I gotta go through and sort those, and then I gotta follow up all of this stuff. And it was so easy just to say, hey, let me know what your thoughts are on this. Like, that reply button exists for a reason. I'm like, whoa, like, email works both ways. Like, they can send me emails too.
So, yeah, it's true.
And it's so easy to forget. Yeah. And this goes back to the outdated social media calendars. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know who else can relate to me, but I know my people are out there that, like, you have a calendar and then you're like, okay, I got to stick to my calendar. And then something massively amazing happens in your life and you look down at your calendar, like, okay, where can I put this? Like, where can I put this in my calendar? And then you're trying to talk about, like, I don't know, whatever it is, but all you're thinking about is this amazing thing, and it just, it never works. So ditch the calendar, say hello, ask for a reply. That's kind of the moral of this, I guess.
And when we get into our tools and tips episode in a couple of weeks, we're going to be talking about ways to capture those stories too, right? Like when something amazing happens and you're like, oh man, this would be a great social post, but like, oh, it doesn't fit the calendar. It's like, when is it okay to just like hit, like just put it out right away? Or how do you capture those in a way that makes it easy to then add into the schedule when it's appropriate?
Or tease it and be like, hey guys, this just happened, right? There's so many ways. Another thing we're going to talk about, I love volunteering Todd for topics on this show. I feel like he just take notes all day long. So another topic we're going to talk about is how to repair those relationships when you inevitably damage them, and like how to be honest about the fact that you messed up, you didn't know what you were doing, you're learning like everybody is, and repair the relationships that you've burned through not knowing what you're up to. Because I've got a whole list of those.
You know, that actually would be a great, that would be a great show. So make sure you guys are subscribed. I just wrote it down as a topic because I think there's a few there's a few things we can stack in there with like follow-ups, re-engagement, and all that kind of stuff. To do that. That's true. And like, you know, there's stuff as simple as like you put the wrong link in the email, which, you know, happens, or you forgot to change the subject line from the last one you sent out. You know, you, unfortunately you sent an email that said hi first name because you forgot to put the right merge tag in the tool, right? Like, you know, whenever I see those, I actually did that a couple of weeks ago. But whenever I see them come from someone, I'm just like, oh man, I feel for you. Like,
yeah. So in case you're back there wondering how Todd and I create this show every week, I basically just think about all the things that I wish I could ask Todd if we were working together about marketing, and then mention it on the show when we create episodes. And he does the same with mindset. And then we just figure it out.
And luckily we keep it on mindset, and I don't have any legal questions.
I know. Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I was going to throw in the fact that if you do decide that you're going to start calling everybody every day, you might need me for your TPO representation. But
and that's where you can go to, what is it, amberfurmanlaw.com or vegaslaw.com, if anybody's
furmanlaw.com. Hopefully you never need that. The podcast is better, I promise.
But for you guys looking for that mindset topic, looking for the business coaching and success design, that's where you can get Amber at morethancorporate.com and follow her solo/interview podcast there. If you want free resources that'll help you with your content strategy and marketing like we talked about today, hit up onairbrands.com/show for some free resources there. Make sure you're subscribed to the show in your favorite podcast platform, because we have some great episodes coming up in the next few weeks. So have a great week, everybody, and we will catch you on the next episode.
Bye, guys.
Tune in to the On Air Brands podcast.